Good evening. We're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Pinchas. Focuses the parsha of the Korbanos. We know in Parshas Pinchas, we have the recounting of the sacrifices of all the holidays. All the Korbanos Musaf, the Korban Tomid, the Korban of Shabbos. And the Netivot Shalom writes as follows. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor tzavei bnei Yisrael v'amatan em tkovni nachmi l'yisharech nechuchi tishmeru l'akriv l'moado. The Torah tells us we have a commandment to have a sacrifice that's brought twice daily, every day of the year, what's known as the Korban Tamid. The Holy Or HaChaim asks, why is it that the Korbanos are set up specifically here after Yoshua is appointed to take over the leadership of the Jewish people? The sacrifices were something that we did for 40 years prior to Yoshua's being established as the next leader. All the years we were traversing the desert, we brought these sacrifices. And Yoshua's given the responsibility of taking over the leadership was only in the 40th year in the desert. So then why does the Torah specifically write the mitzvos of the sacrifices over here? So we also have to explain why are these two parshios aligned? What connection is there between Yoshua taking over the leadership and the sacrifices? And although we know the rule that the words of Torah are not written in chronological order necessarily, you cannot look at one parsha and say, well, that's written after the other one, so that happened second. Nonetheless, we say that the order of the parashios does allude to different concepts. And especially in a situation like this, where you have a parsha that's been relevant for 40 years and the Torah only recounts it now. We also have to note that here, the parsha of the Korbanos begins with a command the Jewish people. And why is it that the parsha begins with that and not the same way that the other parshas of Korbanos, when the Torah says, don't sacrifice the Korbanos outside the temple, so it says, command Aaron and his sons and all of Israel. But it begins with the people who are responsible for it, Aaron and his children. And as Nachmanides writes over there, that you have Aaron and his children and their commandment, because they're responsible for the sacrifices, and also to all of Israel. So if here we have the parsha, in Parshas Pinchas, towards the end of the parsha, that's the place that the Torah commands us with regard to sacrifices, why does it all begin with Tzavet B'nei Yisrael, a general commandment, command the Jewish people, and makes no reference to Aaron and his children who are really responsible for the sacrifices? We also have to explain, why does the Torah says, watch over the sacrifice to bring it at its set time? When it says watch, ordinarily that's a prohibition. Here the Torah is telling us to actively ensure that it is brought on time. So why does the Torah use the term tishmiru, which is indicative of a prohibition, when the commandment is a proactive one, it's not a prohibitive one? So then why is that term used? So again, he just asked us a slew of questions. He said, one, why is this right after Yoshua being appointed the next leader? Yoshua's appointment was at the end of the 40 years and the sacrifices were relevant all 40 years. Why are these two parshas next to one another altogether? Why does this parsha begin with a commandment to the Jewish people at large? And why do we have the term tishmeru? Four questions. We can explain this concept based on what the holy work the Noam Elimelech writes, that every generation has their mitzvah that they have to fix. We know every individual has his task in this world. Well, every generation has their task in the world. We know that all of the Taryag mitzvot, all 613 mitzvot, are relevant for every generation. אבל יש מצווה מיוחדת בכל דור שכלל ישראל צריכים להחזיק בה ביותר ולמסור נפשם עליה. That there is a mitzvah that's relevant to each generation, that generation has to be stronger in that mitzvah and really dedicate themselves to that mitzvah. וכתב שם שלמשל בדורו הרי זו מצווה ציצית. So the Noam Elimelech writes that in his generation the mitzvah was tzitzis. That's what he writes. ובזה מפרש מאמר כתוב נוח איש צדיק תמים היה בדורותיו, and with this concept he explains the verse that Noach was a righteous man and whole in his generations, שנוח קיים ותיקן את המצווה המיוחד של דורותיו. That Noach was tamim בדורותיו, he was complete in that he was able to complete the mitzvah of his generation. והנה לגבי דורו ידע הרב הקדוש בעל נועם אלימלך וגילה שהמצווה המיוחדת היא מצווה ציצית. In his generation, he knew and revealed, the Noam Elimelech said, the mitzvah they had to work extra hard was the mitzvah of tzitzis. Achen bechol dor shehu amru tzadikim shem tuch itbonenut ezo mitzvah yesh pasiyata deshmai miuchedet v'kla Yisrael machzikim biyoter otu shezo ha-mitzvah miuchedet ha-shiyechet ledor hazeh. Every generation, when there's extraordinary assistance from above, and Am Yisrael clings to a mitzvah more than other mitzvahs, you know that's a sign that that's a mitzvah that's special for that generation. You see it. You look at Klal Yisrael, you see each generation has their mitzvah. And with this concept, we explain the Mishnah that the world stands on three things, on Torah, Avodah, and Gmilut Chasadim, the Mashmaut HaOlam Omed, Hainu HaMitzvah Miuchedet Bataluy Kiyum HaOlam. That when we say the world stands, we mean the mitzvah that the whole world is standing on in that generation. And every generation has a special aspect when it comes to these three pillars that hold up the world. Torah, Avodah, Gmilut Chasadim. Every generation has their unique aspect that keeps the world going in that generation. So, based on this, we can understand that Moshe's generation who received the Torah, they were the generation of Torah. That's when Torah was given. As we know, that generation was called the generation that really knew. The Holy Zohar says, there never was and there never will be a generation like that generation. And this stemmed from the strength of Moshe, who was, he was the embodiment of that trait of knowledge of Am Yisrael. For 40 years, Am Yisrael was learning Torah from him. So he shone upon them that strength of his when it came to Da'at. Mikoach ze niyu dor de'a she'avdu l'Hashem itbach b'madragot k'vot. From his strength, they became that generation that was able to serve on such high levels. And even when we encounter different sins of that generation, we say it's beyond our comprehension. And like the tzaddikim like to say, notice that even the sins of Am Yisrael of that generation became Torah. It's included in the Torah, meaning the words that describe their sin is also Torah. You see on what a level that generation was. And then we shift to the generation of Yoshua. Do Be'ei Aretz, the generation that was to come and conquer the land. They were no longer that giant generation of Moshe Rabbeinu's time, that giant generation with their tremendous spiritual capacity. They were a generation of toil. They were a generation of work. What God wanted of that generation was that they'd toil in their service of Hashem. They'd conquer the land. They'd work the land. As the verse in the conclusion of Yoshua tells us, Am Yisrael served Hashem. They worked before Hashem. That was their task in that generation. When we look at a generation whose focus is the toil, their job is to work before Hashem, so then the basis for all that is the service of the korbanot, and we could say in our generation, that would be tefillah. That if you have a generation that works very hard before Hashem in settling the land, in building the land, then they have to be very strong in tefillah, the correspondence to korbanot. ונכלל בעמוד העבודה שהעולם עומד על זה. And this is one of the pillars that the world stands on. עבודת הקורבנות שורשה גבוה מאוד ויש בסודות התורה שעדיין לא נתגלו והיא שורש עבודת השם. The korbanos, the sacrifices, are a service whose roots are high up and encompasses secrets of the Torah that have yet to be revealed, and that is the root of the service of Hashem. From there, you branch out to other forms of service of Hashem and service of the heart. And if you look at the sacrifices of each holiday, then those sacrifices are like the soul of that holiday. שהקבעת הקורבנות עם כל הקבנות העליונות התמונות בהקבעתם הייתה נשמה של היום טוב והשביע כוח העבודה בכלל ישראל. The service of the sacrifices was the soul of the Yom Tov, and that's what imparted upon Am Yisrael in general the strength, the capacity to serve Hashem properly in that holiday. ובזה יש לברת עניין סמיכות הפרשיות. So now we can understand how the parshiyos are aligned. שלאחר מינוי יהושע, only after Yeshua was appointed, נאמרה פרשת הקורבנות. Only then does the Torah tell us the responsibility of the sacrifices. שבזה הודיע הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה של דורו של יהושע דובי הארץ, יש דרך עבודה חדשה. Because Hashem was stressing there's a new form of service before Hashem. Up until this generation, they were the generation of Torah. Now they're entering Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they're a generation of work, a generation of labor, a generation whose service of Hashem is going to have a much greater focus on the sacrifices. And if we could pause, well, we could add another concept. In the beginning of the period of the Second Temple, so we come back to the land of Israel. And again we see a refocus on the service of Hashem through Avodah. The men of the Great Assembly, as we re-enter the land of Israel, they institute tefillah, shmona esrei, three times a day, everyone davens. We see that it goes par and parcel with conquering the land. It goes hand in hand with the new service that happens when you enter the land of Israel. Yeah, you want to do Torah, Torah works everywhere. You want to do avodah, avodah is different. Avodah works differently in Israel than elsewhere. ולכן אמר כאן הלשון צוות בני ישראל. And that's why this parsha begins with a commandment to Am Yisrael at large, שזהו ציווי כללי לכלל ישראל, שתפקיד הדור הזה הוא עבודה. This was a general command to Am Yisrael at large, because Am Yisrael at large was shifting gears. They were going to focus on עבודה. וזה גם עניין הלשונות הנשגבים שלא מצינו דוגמתם באף עניין. And that's also why we find terminology here that is so elevated, you don't find it anywhere else. Hashem says, Korbani lachmi, my sacrifice, my bread. No other sacrifice is termed that way. Le'ishai, my fires. You don't find that elsewhere. Reach nichochi, my pleasant smell, ki anachat ruach, lifnei Hashem itbarach, ma'avodat ha'korbanot, u'me'avodah mitoch yegiya, hi yoter mikol shar inyanei kiyum ha'mitzvot. Because Hashem, so to speak, has nachas from service when we toil, more so than other mitzvahs.
The
korban, right. The idea of doing avodah correctly, which we might say today is in our tefillah.
But that's what we don't do correctly.
Today we don't do it as well as we should, right? We have to work on it. Yeah.
Maybe
what?
Maybe it's,
maybe it's not the mitzvah of the door, but maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe we do have to work. I don't know how we know. I don't know.
I mean, he said that the mitzvah of the generation of
Tzitzis. Yes.
What's that? Christmas?
Then Tivot Shalom is quoting the Noam Elimelech on Parshas Noach. The question is, how did the Noam Elimelech know? I don't know how we know.
This is Parshas Noach. Read
we're reading the Tivot Shalom on Parshas Pinchas. He's quoting from the Noam Elimelech on Parshas Noach.
But how does this have to... So this is that it was Hashem's... Hashem had pleasure from it. This is, has to do with that generation, right? Right of Pinchas?
Right. That generation that was going into Eretz Yisrael in our parsha. Yeah.
It was a generation of Mitzvah. And you apply that proof to the parsha line.
Right.
No. But that's so the parsha of Pinchas, that was Hashem's time. So what now is not that. It was... I don't
Let's hear him out. Let's finish, because he's going to evolve into the period of Yemei HaMetzarim, which we're headed towards. the avodah, the special service between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So let's see as we get there.
So what is it, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz?
Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the fast day we're going to have next week.
17th
of Tammuz, right. So, ובאיור אומרות ישמרו להקריב לי במועדו, יש לומר ונכלל בזה גם מלשון, ואביב שמר את הדבר. Hashem says, I want you to watch this sacrifice to bring it at its set time. Now the word to watch, he said, is problematic because the word to watch ordinarily indicates a prohibitive nature. You're forbidden from something, watch over it. Here we're not forbidden, we're commanded to do something. So he says, yes, the word to watch in Hebrew also means to pause, to wait in anticipation. And Tishmeru l'akriv li b'mo'ado, Rashi explains in Bereishis that the word shamar could mean mamtin umtzapeh matai yavo, to wait in anticipation, when's it going to come? V'atorah kedoshah she nitzchit me'omezet b'ze al zman ha'churban, so the Holy Torah that is eternal is alluding to the period when the temple is destroyed. There is no sacrifice. Shekasher batlah avodat ha'korbanot b'fo'al, that when we don't have this service, this active service of sacrifices, she'ashorah shel avodat Hashem, that is really the root of the service of Hashem. Havodah b'bchinat tishmeru. So then what is our service now? We don't have a Bet HaMikdash. Our service is to anticipate. Shishtokikut sheklal Yisrael mishtokikim l'avodat ha'korbanot. That is our desire, our yearning for the service of the sacrifices. U'mamtin u'mtzapeh matai yavo. And a person says, I can't wait. When's it going to come? שהעניין הסגולי של הקורבנות שהוא סגולה לכל עניין עבודת השם מתקיימים בזמן הזה בכך שישראל מצפים להקריב הקורבנות. If you want the סגולה, we might translate the amulet, the spiritual shine that stems from the service of the sacrifices, the way you can obtain it today is if you want it, if you anticipate it. ועל ידי זה ממשיכים את תור הקורבנות. And in so doing, when a person says he desires that, when a person reaches a point where that's something important to him, where he's waiting for it, so then he pulls down the light of the korbanos, even though we don't have sacrifices today. So step one, he says, Tishmeru l'akriv li b'mo'ado. He gives us a fantastic new pshat. Tishmeru means anticipate. Wait with a yearning. And that's a very important attitude. Chazal say that part of what Hashem wants to see before He will rebuild the third temple is to see us yearning for it, to see that we want it. V'zeu inyan tfilat ha-musafim shel yamim tovim. And that is the idea behind the musaf prayers of the yamim tovim. Sh'omrim mehem et korbanot hayom. We recount the sacrifice that should have been brought today. U'mitpalelim b'ishtokikut gdola la'akrivam sham. What do we say in the musaf prayer? We say, regretfully, because of our sins, you can't do it. We cannot bring these sacrifices. And now we ask you, Hashem, we want to bring the sacrifices. Sharei ze kilu akrivu takorban. And in showing our yearning, then it is as though we have actually brought the sacrifice. Ukmo she'amar ha-Rebbe HaKadosh me'apta zchuto yegen aleinu l'achar she'ba lefanav v'seach et libo al tzarotav v'yitrashem she'en ha-tzadik lokach kol kach et dagotav lelibo v'ergish b'zeh ha-tzadik v'amar lo. Someone came to the Rebbe of Apta and he was pouring his heart out before him. And he felt like the Rebbe of Apta wasn't taking his problems to heart. And the Rebbe of Apta sensed that the guy felt that way. The Rebbe of Apta said to him, I don't see you worried about the fact that the Talmid wasn't brought this morning. You're worried about what's bothering you, but I don't see you worried about the sacrifices we didn't bring today. What the Rebbe of Apta was saying is that I am immersed in the worry, a heavier worry, a worry about where's all of Am Yisrael holding? Where is the sacrifice that should have been brought this morning? And that is the concept behind the book of the Song of Songs. Shekatav Rashi shehu shir sheknest Yisrael omert begaluta uval menuta. Rashi writes, Shir Hashirim is the song we sing when we're in exile, when we're widowed. Shekol Shir Hashirim ishtokikut le'elokut. The whole book, the Song of Songs, is a yearning for God. V'zu avodah begaluta, avodah shlishtokikut. And that is our service now, to show that we want things to be different. that we yearn for things to be different. And that is the idea behind this period between Shavuos and Tisha B'Av, the period, the 3 weeks. Shem Yemei Yishtokekut, they are days of yearning. Shebehem Yishtokekim Yisrael Umtzapim Yishua. And these days we yearn for a better time, a time of salvation. V'yamim Elu Mesayim Levinyan Bet Hamikdash. So these days are supportive to the rebuilding of the temple. U'kmo Shamu Chazal Kol Haosek B'Torah Tola Kilu Ekriv Ola V'Chol Haosek B'Torah Chatat Kilu Ekriv Chatat. Chazal say whoever deals with the parsha of Ola, it's as though he brought that sacrifice. The parsha of Chatas, it's as though he brought that. Shelo amu kol alomed. They didn't say whoever learns it, ela kol haosek, but whoever deals with it. Sheshem kol isko, shesam kol isko, bezeu mishtakek umamtin, mata yavo liyado v'akaymenu. A person focuses on it and says, I can't wait to have the opportunity to do it. Az arezek kilu akriv ola. Then it's as though he brought the sacrifice. Shebezeu mamshich et ha'arot v'akdusha shel hakorbanot. In that he draws down the light and the holiness of the sacrifices. And the last paragraph he says, "V'tzadikim amru shechafbet yamim ben ha'metzarim em keneged chafbet ha'yamim ha'kedoshim yamim noreim v'chag ha'sukot v'shmini atzeret." The holy tzadikim say that the 22 days of ben ha'metzarim correspond to the 22 days of the high holy days through Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is on the 22nd of Tishrei. So you have 22 days from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. The 22 days of mourning, beginning with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, culminating with the 9th of Av, correspond to the 22 days from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. ועל דרך מאמרם כשהם ציירים ציור עושים קודם רקע שחור כדי שיוכלו אחר כך לצייר עליו בכל הצבעים. When you try to make a painting, you first make a black background and then you draw the colors on top of it. על דרך זה ימי בין המצרים הם בחינת הרקע השחור לימים הקדושים. So these days, these dark days, the days of the 3 weeks are the backdrop to the high holy days of Tishrei. ויבואר על פי הדברים שהם זמן של השתוקקות ללוקות. How are they the backdrop? Because it begins with the yearning. They're the background. They're the background, the canvas, so to speak, on which you're painting the days of Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. Because what's at the root of the 3 weeks? At the root of the 3 weeks is a yearning to come close to Hashem again. יש השתוקקות כללית ויש השתוקקות הפרטית של כל יהודי לגאולת נפשו בהרגשת אלוקותו יתברך. And we have to know that there are two types of yearnings. There's the yearning of the klal, of Am Yisrael as a people, and then there's the yearning of the individual. Where every individual awaits his own personal redemption, his own personal desire to come close to Hashem. וזה בחינת הרקע השחור שעליו מאירים כל הגוונים. And that's the idea that you have black as the background, because on black every color shines. וזהו גם עניין תשעה באב שהבחייה בו אינה בחייה לשם בחייה אלא בחייה של השתוקקות. On Tisha B'Av, our wailing is a wailing of yearning. We're looking forward. We're weeping because we want something better tomorrow. וזה ממשיך את בניין בית המקדש. And that's what continues the building of the בית המקדש. And that brings us to the point he's finished his drash on Parshas Pinchas. And that brings us to the point that I wanted really to discuss tonight. We're headed towards the 3 weeks. And we all know that we don't get married during the 3 weeks. We have the 9 days. We don't take as many showers as we ordinarily do. We don't change our clothes the way we ordinarily would. And then we reach Tisha B'Av where we don't eat at all and we don't take a shower at all. We don't brush our teeth. We don't wear our shoes. Sometimes we can get carried away with the externals of these days. When in truth, the focus of these days is supposed to be a focus on how do I make things better? We're in a situation where we do not have a temple. Well, how did we get there? We got there, as we well know, through sinas chinam, through hatred that was baseless. And when we enter these days, we have to take the opportunity to focus on making it better. So every person has to stop and ask himself, What small thing can I do to advance the ahava that I have for my fellow man? And it's always easy to take your best friend and say, oh, I'll get him a gift. No, the idea is to take the guy you cannot stand, to take the guy who you really don't want to sit next to during lunchtime, to take the guy whose accent gets on your nerves, to take the guy who stutters and you don't really feel like having a conversation with him, to take the guy who has bad breath and you'd much rather not be talking to him. Take the guy who, for whatever reason, you don't think you want to develop a relationship with, and see how you could be positive with that person. The Sephardi should talk to the Ashkenazi, the Haredi to the Mizrahi. God doesn't want this divisiveness. Divisiveness for the sake of heavens is not any better than any other divisiveness. It's rare that Hashem approves that Am Yisrael is divided. We have a special mitzvah in the Torah. Hashem says that we're not supposed to divide ourselves into groups. And so when we think of how we move forward into these 3 weeks, we have to think about how we work on achdus, on being able to accept people who see things differently than me. And it's harder here in Israel than it is in Chutz La'aretz. Here in Israel, people are putting their life on the line for what they believe in. And so when a guy is serving in the army and the other guy is telling him, I don't believe that's holy, so then it hurts much more. But you know what? We have to be able to surmount that too. The divisiveness during the end of the Second Temple was also about questions which could be perceived as life and death. And when the question was whether one was a chassid or a misnaged, that could also be perceived as life and death. I don't want to go into the gruesome history of the arguments and the fights between chassidim and misnagdim, but we have what to improve on. And as always, it begins with us. Doesn't begin externally. It's a question of where do we stand. There's a point which sometimes people overlook, especially because we're trying always, we think about the guy who doesn't keep Shabbos and doesn't keep kashrus, and we think, how could I be nice to him and get him to feel comfortable and bring him close? We also have to ask ourselves, what about the guy who does keep Shabbos and kashrus, but he has long forelocks down to here? How close am I to him? I was sitting in a car a few weeks ago. A relative of mine gave me a ride, and he told me that he just bumped into a few friends of his who don't keep Shabbos kashrus, don't wear yarmulke anymore, and it shocked him. So I said to him, you know, I think that part of the reason that this phenomenon is happening now is that a lot of the message that's been given to the youngsters is that we're closer to the person who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvos than the guy who does keep Torah and mitzvos but doesn't believe in the state, that doesn't serve in the army, or that whatever other ideological differences I have with him. So he said to me, but it's true. We are closer to the guy who doesn't keep Shabbos than the guy who are ideologically different. So at first I thought he was joking. So I said to him, you're joking, right? He said, no, I'm not joking. What do you mean? There's a basic integral difference between if you serve in the army and you don't serve in the army. I said, wait a second. 613 mitzvos don't carry weight. You keep the same Shabbos. You eat the same kashrus. What's the big difference between you? He eats badatz and you eat rabbanut. But you're closer to the guy whose whole lifestyle is different? He stood his ground. I was so shocked, I wasn't even prepared to argue the point. I think we have to think about it. And if that's the norm, if a relative who's a friend of mine, you know, we're on good terms, but he could look me in the eye and tell me that's true, so then we're doing something wrong. It's not true. We should definitely love every Jew, and we should definitely be interested in helping every Jew and in helping every Jew discover what Judaism is all about. But we should also recognize that the Jews that keep Taryag Mitzvos like us, they're fine. So we have differences between us and them. Fine. You know, Rabbi Akiva and the rabbis had differences about whether they should join the rebellion with Bar Kokhba or not. Rabbi Akiva was wrong. Does that mean that the rabbis said, we're turning our back on you? Or Rabbi Akiva said he's turning his back on them? Throughout our history, we've had strong ideological differences. There are strong differences between the rabbis in many generations. There were questions about how to react to the state. There were questions about whether we should declare a state. There have been questions in our history that were pivotal and that really could form a huge chasm. And yet the rabbis were always careful to maintain a closeness, to maintain an Am Echad. And I think that as we look forward to the 3 weeks that are coming, and he teaches us here about the yearning to Hashem and the yearning to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, we have to remember that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed over sinat chinam, over baseless hatred. And the truth is that we can have our differences, but there really is no room for hatred. There's room to build together and Bezrat Hashem, sinachas together.
Okay.
I'm with you.